Hey, book besties, we're your hosts, Kelsey
and Nikki,
and this is For the Shelf Podcast.
Before we get started, this podcast is intended for a mature audience. Use of profanity is a definite, along with discussions of mature sexual themes and graphic content. Listener discretion is advised.
This week, we'll be discussing Deep End by Allie Hazelwood, but first, let's get into last week's bookish news. So, I have just a range of things. So two are like kind of hand in hand, but in case you were living under a rock and you did not see the news regarding the ACTAR TV show, it's officially dead at Hulu.
RIP ACTAR.
Which nobody's surprised. Everybody is actually thrilled about it. Disney apparently only owned the rights until summer of 2025, so obviously nothing has happened, and Sarah just didn't move forward and was allegedly letting the rights expire and possibly shopping around, which I think is a really good thing because I don't think it would have done well on Hulu. I think it belongs somewhere at like HBO Max or Showtime or something like
that. I agree. I think it should be an HBO thing. Know how like movie and TV show rights work. So if they don't use them within a certain time period, they expire or they have to be resold or like what? Because they buy them, right? Who buys the rights to this thing, to this IP?
So from what I was reading, Disney bought the rights from Sarah to turn it into a TV show. But of course, like, you know, there's lawyers and contracts and she, you know, probably kept a lot of control over a lot of things. But yeah, they have a certain period of time from like when they buy the rights to then like being either produced or in production of said TV show. And for whatever reason, like they were full going. Then they got rid of the director who was like the showrunner or something from Outlander.
Right. Ron Moore.
Yeah, because he works for Sony, and Sony is not Disney, and so when Disney bought Hulu, you know, it was a whole thing. And so she kind of just, like, put a squash to it. I would assume she would have had to given the money back, you know, if she got any up front. But now, like, once they expire, she can now go and, you know, auction it to somebody else, like Netflix or Amazon or HBO or whoever.
Yeah.
And remember when she was like in that coffee shop having that conversation with Margot Robbie?
Yeah.
Well, Margot Robbie is now like trying to be a director. So people think like that's part of the reason is she now wants to partner with Margot Robbie and go whatever that direction is. But
regardless, Disney was not the right home for this IP.
No, no. So, yeah, nobody is shocked. Nobody is upset. It doesn't mean that we'll never get the ACTAR TV show. We just won't get it on Hulu. That's all that means.
That's fine. I don't even know my Hulu login password right now, so.
Yeah. Okay, so next, like, kind of continuation. So, Bloomsbury teased this whole thing about they have this Sarah J. Maas announcement. They have a Sarah J. Maas announcement. You know, you're going to want to tune in because there's a Sarah J. Maas announcement.
Okay.
So everybody was like, cool, let me go ahead and get my clown makeup on because I know it's not going to be the news that we want. Because people are like, is it ACTAR 6? And Bloomsbury's like, you don't want to miss this news. And they're like, okay, but is it ACTAR 6? Because if it's not, I don't really care. And Bloomsbury is like, no spoilers. You have to tune in. So, of course, everybody's like, all right. What everybody's been waiting for. Like, we're all super excited. And people are like, are we, though? Are we? And they're like, okay, it's something that you've all been waiting for. And people are like, I doubt it. And they're like, Crescent City 3 in paperback. And people are like.
And there was much rejoicing.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, okay. So we're not getting Avatar 6. And they're like, look at this really cool cover. And it matches all of the other ones. And people are like, okay. And Bloomsbury's like, get your pre-orders in now. And people are like, so just to be clear, that's the only announcement. And they're like, yeah, what do you think we were going to announce?
What a bunch of assholes.
So yeah, so that happened.
Just all of this drama.
Yeah.
I'm hearing about it.
Tell you because I knew it wasn't going to be Avatar 6.
We're never going to get.
So I was like, there's no point in getting your hopes up. Like Bloomsbury was like, because they know, they hint.
What are you doing? Like, she's not as vocal. Like, Rebecca Yarros, like, we know what she's doing. We know when she's taking a break. We know when she's not taking a break. She celebrates, all her achievements with the people. I feel like Sarah J. Maas never updates her social media. She's very private, and I haven't heard.
I have no idea, because it's like, she gives us enough so that we know, there is an Avatar 6.
Right.
Like,
well, because, maybe a year ago, she posted a picture of herself, in the mountains, and she was like, oh, inspiration, blah, blah, blah.
She talks about it's going to be a long book, and, so she's given little, details, and she's under contract to write it. It's not like it's Crescent City 4, where she's not under contract to write it, but she said that she wants to. She doesn't have to write it. She's technically completed the trilogy, but she's under contract to write 7 Avatar books,
right?
I don't know if it's under heavy revisions or where we are in the process, but it's been a minute since Silver Flames came out.
It has been. And I'm looking, I pulled up her Instagram. She is literally, so the post that I'm referring to, she made on April 3rd, 2024. It's a picture of the back of her. And she said, went up north to write for a while, hashtag Akka what? Yeah. So, but that was April 3rd, 2024. And she's literally only posted on her Instagram 6 times since then. And one is the
Taylor's
House of Flame and Shadow is coming in paperback. And I guess it looks like a Taylor Swift concert.
Yeah.
And maybe she got a million followers.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what is the holdup is, because we expect a year in between books. And we expect it even more than that when she's writing multiple series. There have been rumors that she is going to be writing a series, that is outside of, this universe that she's created with Throne of Glass, Akatar, and
she was going to start a new series.
But, we're to the point where it's been, because when Silver Flames came out, I was still living in Illinois. I want to say this was,
I'm going to pull it up.
I want to say this was either right before COVID or
I don't remember. I think I read it during COVID.
Yeah, I want to say it came out, in 2020. It
was published in 2021.
Okay.
February 2021.
Okay, yeah. So, it's been a while.
But it's only been a year, I guess, since she released Crescent City 3. Because that was January of last year.
Yeah.
So, this is only a year since something. But that's 4 years for Avatar.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I don't know.
We're just get on it, Sarah. Come on.
For real. Yeah, so, there's not much we can do but just, wait until she's ready to release something. She knows how popular it is. She knows everybody wants it. It's not like she's just waiting for somebody to show interest. But, yeah. Okay, so moving on. We have 2 book release info that I'm actually very excited for, which is why I kind of put them in there. Not that there aren't more book releases coming. There obviously are a ton. But these are 2 that, were just announced recently that, I'm super excited for. So one is the sequel to Bride by Allie Hazelwood. So it's the Allie Hazelwood episode. So we can't not talk about it.
Right.
Which I'm super excited for. It's not the same people. It the story is for 2 other characters.
Okay, I'll take that.
But it's in the same universe. So
I like that, because I feel like for me personally, like once the characters get together, I kind of lose interest in their like romantic journey.
Yeah. So yeah, it's going to follow different people, but again, it's still set in the same kind of universe. And then the last one is Stacia Stark just announced that her new series, the first book in that series, is releasing in May. And that book is called This Vicious Dream, which, again, happens in the same world as Corpus Cruel Novelty. It follows different people. I don't know exactly who it follows. I don't know what the line
is. I could gesture a guess, but I don't.
I don't know what the timeline is for it, but it's technically a standalone. But, you know, like, it's all...
I just wonder if it's because there's a couple that's kind of like a will they, won't they, throughout this series. And I'm wondering if that is what the focus is going to be on. And I hope so.
I got... Because I'm part of, like, her, like, newsletter or whatever. So I got the email when she released the cover, and it's really... pretty, but it follows Medina. I haven't read the book in a minute, so I'm trying to remember. Oh, okay.
I think that's the Fire Friends.
Yes. I know who that is now. So it's her story. That's what it's
behind this.
Yeah. So I'm excited for that. I can't wait to read it. Too bad it's coming out like after a Polycom. So can I get it signed?
Go get it next.
Yeah, well, and then, like, we talked about this a little bit, but I've seen, like, somebody in the group for Polycon, like, in the Facebook group, was asking about book plates, and I think that's actually a really great idea. Like, I'm not going to have every single author sign book plates, but, like, certain ones. So, like, I'll have Stacia Stark sign, like, obviously my books, but then, like, a book plate, so I can put that in that book when that releases, and, like, same thing with Sarah A. Parker. And she has another book that's going to, The Ballad of Fallen Dragons. And then Olivia Rose Darling for her book, Wrath of Dragons.
That is a really great idea, actually. I'm generally anti-book plate as a collector, because I feel like it's not the same value to me. One of the things I love the most about a signed book is this idea that the author had that book in their hands and they physically like touched that book, and then you're touching the same book, and it's almost like you're besties, like you were both in the same place at the same, not at the same time, but like at the same place in different times with that, over that object, connecting through that object. And I don't know, that always felt kind of magical to me.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely prefer like a hand signature into the book onto the page, but I mean, we can't really do anything with books that haven't been released.
That's true.
So a book plate is like the next best thing. So yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm not going to do it for every single author, but there are like very like select, and I'm not going to like walk up to Carissa Broadbent or walk up to like Stacia Stark and be like, here's 15 book plates. Sign these, please. You know, like I have like, I'm getting enough signed for the intention of like what specific book I'm going to put them in. But I don't know. I thought it was a cool idea, so we'll see if it works out. Okay, so now let's jump into the spoiler-free part of our review, which, spoiler, we actually don't have a spoiler part to this book. It's a contemporary romance, guys. Like, there's no real spoilers. So we're just going to just do an overall review this episode, because we both kind of like thought about it and was like, there's no real spoilers.
Yeah.
So it's just going to be like a just straight review. Okay. So at the time of this recording, the Goodreads rating for this book is a 4.14 with 54,000 ratings. And it was released February 4th of this year. So literally like 2 weeks ago. I mean, it's crazy that it already has that many reviews, but I mean,
so that's a ton of reviews. And I remember when back when Quicksilver came out, we were like looking at it and it was like a bajillion reviews right away. I think that this way surpasses the amount of people yeah. hearing Quicksilver in the first couple
well,
of
years. I mean, Anna Hazelwood has her dedicated fan base.
I know. I'm saying everyone was so, you know, up in arms and about Quicksilver and how many people have read it and how fast it was, you know, growing. And this is just blowing it right out of the water. And yet I have not.
Yeah.
But anyway.
It is a standalone book. So the thing with Allie Hazelwood books, if you're not familiar with her, is all of her books are standalones, but from time to time you will see like couples from other books in her book, but not like they're just background characters. So even though this is a standalone book, there are a couple of scenes with the characters from Love Hypothesis. But you won't know, you wouldn't know that unless you read Love Hypothesis. Like,
right, which I have not read, so I
can't. Yeah, so, and they're, again, they're background characters, so their appearance, it's just, like, cute and funny that you see it in there, but it has, like, it's no
Easter egg.
Yeah, it has no bearing on the story, so they are actual standalones. And then a little fun fact, this book was originally titled Wet, W-H-E-T. And then it was later changed to Deep End, but it does also go, it is also known by that title as Wet for multiple reasons. Okay, so you can find this book, you can find the physical form, don't forget to use bookshop.org, and it's on audiobook. It's not on Kindle yet. It may come to Kindle, but she's not a KU author typically. So I don't know if it'll ever be on KU, but it will some point come to Kindle. And then because she's a super popular contemporary romance author, there were already special editions made for this book, one by probably Smut, which I went to sign up for the subscription and they were waitlisted, but they opened up two like time slots where you could try and grab like a subscription, and it started with this book, and I missed both of them, and I was devastated because like they sold out in like 3 minutes, both times. So I missed out on it, and I was like so upset. But my husband is fantastic and did get me the probably Smut version of this book, the special edition, and I'm super excited for it to come. And then Afterlight did a special edition as well.
So probably Smut is the only BookBot sub that I've ever had.
It's like, you got rid of it.
I did get rid of it because, well, I signed up the month after the probably Smut fourth wave came out.
Which you got.
I did get, but that's like a whole other story. So I signed up because I was like, oh, this is going to be great. Obviously, they're doing romanticy and they're signbooks, and that the probably Smut fourth wave was beautiful. It had a
full cover.
It was hardcover. You know, I mean, it was a book plate. It wasn't, but anyway, it's $25 a month. And I was like, that's fantastic. But then the books that I was getting were not necessarily, after that, were not necessarily books that I wanted to read. It was like Wildfire by Hannah Grace. And then there was like, I don't know, some dark romance. And I just was like, why? Yeah,
so probably Smut does, they're just a romance, like, I mean, it's in their name, probably Smut. So they're a romance based,
like a spice forward.
Yeah. Book subscription. So you can get like contemporary dark romance. You can get romanticy. Like they're kind of all over the place, which makes them so popular.
But I also thought like a lot of these book subs, which I mean, granted, probably Smut was only $25 when I did it. I don't know if it's gone up since.
No, it actually, it hasn't. So they're reasonably priced. Like if you just get the book, like I think it's called like Good Girl subscription or something.
Yeah, I think that's the one that I had was the book. And then they sent you like your first month, they sent you like a little binder that you could put pages in for like book reviews. And then the only like goodie that you got each month was that they sent like little sticky tabs, for annotating. And it like had, it was color coordinated based on like the characters. So like it was, the sticky notes were different colors every month. Like I don't even use those. So I was just this for me, like this feels like.
Yes. So the big box where you like, you get the shirt and all of the goodies, it's only $40 a month. But it's actually very reasonably priced, especially when, like, the resale on these books are, like, ridiculous. Like, I think the cheapest I saw for Deep End was $125.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, the problem is I ended up getting friggin' lucky because they had overstock. So while I was a subscriber, they had overstock on the Probably Smut Fourth Main, and you had to enter a lottery. And I was able to win one for $25.
Yeah.
And then
those things are going for like $300.
Oh, I resold it because I needed to, because in the summer the bookshop is dead. And I didn't want to resell it, but I did resell it for $600.
Yeah.
But that kept that helped keep us open for the summer.
Yeah. So yeah, the resale value on the books in that subscription is ridiculous. Yeah. A lot of them. Like, I would say Fairyland and Probably Smut have the biggest resale.
Bookish Box too, sometimes depending on the title. Author.
Yeah.
You know?
Depending on the title.
Like, Owl Crate has the lowest resale value.
Oh, trust me, I know. The amount of Owl Crate things that you made me list on eBay. Mm-hmm. I'm like $25.
Yeah.
And they don't sell.
They don't sell. And we have like I don't even know. There are books that we're three and four copies of.
It's because like Owl Crate doesn't do like
young at all.
Well, and not only that, but like they barely do a sprayed edge. Like it's not an alternate cover. It's not it's just like a
inline.
Yeah, and then it's like sometimes they're signed, sometimes they're not signed. Like you can open up an Owl Crate exclusive book and have zero idea that it's an Owl Crate exclusive book because it looks exactly like the mass market ones. Whereas at least Bookish Box and Fairyloo and like all they all like. They do their own covers, like, they do their own, like, inlays. A lot of them, like, Bookish Box is notorious for reversible dust jackets. Like, they do, like, not even just, like, sprayed edge, but a lot of them do, like, Fairyloo does a lot of foiled edges. Like, they actually, like, make their...
Great makes nice books, too.
Yeah, they do.
I don't see those very often. I don't see those as often as, like, books.
No, I don't think that they have, like, a big, like, subscription base.
Or the people just keep them.
Yeah.
Just hold on to them.
Which, I mean, I would, too. Because, like, if I'm thinking about it now, like, the Illumicrate special edition for Bridgerton, like, those are, like, worth $800. Like, they're But they're so pretty. I like them.
I love them. I want all the pretty books.
I know.
Like, I don't have the budget for all the pretty books, but I want all the pretty books.
Like, I would also really like...
So the way, going back to the Probably Smut 4 thing, the way that people were blasting me online for reselling my Probably Smut for $600 was ridiculous.
Okay, well, they don't have to buy it.
True. But yeah, I had to take it off. Because I think I had it listed on, like, those, like Facebook resale, like, you know, special edition. I just put it on eBay where no one could harass me.
Yeah. But... I know, like, I'm thinking about the special editions of the Broken Bond series. Oh, those are awesome.
My friend Tiffany has both of them. There's two different people that did them.
Arcane Society, I think, and Bookish Bop.
Yes, and has both of them.
Yeah. That's like $2,000 right there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, anyway, I'm moving along.
Moving on. Now let's get into the description of the book.
Scarlett Vandermeer is swimming upstream. A junior at Stanford and a student athlete who specializes in platform diving, Scarlett prefers to keep her head down, concentrating on getting into med school and on recovering from the injury that almost ended her career. She has no time for relationships. At least, that's what she tells herself. Swim captain, world champion, all-around aquatics golden boy, Lucas Bloomquist, thrives on discipline. It's how he wins gold medals and breaks records. Complete focus with every stroke. On the surface, Lucas and Scarlett have nothing in common until a well-guarded secret slips out and everything changes. So they start an arrangement. And as the pressure leading to the Olympics heats up, so does their relationship. It was supposed to be just a temporary, mutually satisfying fling. But when staying away from Lucas becomes impossible, Scarlett realizes that her heart might be heading into dangerous water. Okay, I have one comment about this blurb. How Lucas and Scarlett have nothing in common, but they go to the same school and they're both in swim sports and they both are great men. So that's a lot.
Yeah.
They have lots in common.
Well, I think the part of it is that, like, you don't know that. Well, like, she thinks that they don't because she's just so, like, I don't know. We'll get into it. Like, I'm just saying.
I feel like that's not true.
I mean, it's not. but okay, so the genre for this book, it's a romance, it's a college romance, it's a sports romance, it's all the romance.
Did you say contemporary?
It's a contemporary romance. It's new adult, and then it is STEM based. So there is, like you were saying, like they are pre-med majors, and part of it is like they work together on a bio project. So that's pretty typical of Allie Hazelwood books. All of her characters, all of her books are STEM based.
Except I don't recall Bride being very
similar. No, so Bride's not.
That's the only other Allie Hazelwood that I've. But it was a hot minute.
Bride is not, but that's because that's the first like step out of her contemporary romance genre. So I don't remember what they do in Bride. Like what
job?
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. But like I don't remember what their jobs were. Okay, anyways.
Wolf.
Okay, so trigger warnings. There's PTSD. There is also mention of mental and emotional abuse off page, specifically by a parent. There is a lot of stress. There is, I debated putting this on there or not, but there is very light BDSM. Straight from the author, it is including power dynamics, like a dom sub dynamic almost. There is talk of injury. And did you add this?
Of course I added that.
As in all contemporary romance, unrealistic expectations. Trigger warning.
Yeah, so directly from the book in regards to the BDSM, Allie Hazelwood says, I want you to know that this work contains consensual and negotiated explorations of kink, in particular power exchange.
Which will move us straight into our spice rating. So I gave it a 3. This is definitely baby's first BDSM. If you're looking for something like in the realm of 50 Shades of Grey, this is not it. This is not erotica, guys. This is contemporary romance. So there is talk of it. They go into a sexual relationship knowing that they're both into it. But what plays out on page is very minimal. And yeah, it's mostly just about like a power dynamic, like a dom sub situationship, but very light. So if 50 Shades of Grey and things like that really scare you, there is no Red Room of Pain. There's no use of like toys and stuff like that. I think at one point in the book, they actually say that they're not into like ball gags and whatnot. So there's none of that that plays out on the page. So it's very light. But it is a little bit more elevated for Allie Hazelwood when she writes spicy scenes in the rest of her books. The rest of her books, besides Not in Love. Not in Love was the first time that she kind of started to venture out a little bit. And this just kind of is like, maybe half a pino above Not in Love, which you wouldn't know because you
read. Yeah, I'm just staring. Well, I guess my only experience being Bride, but I thought that was pretty horny.
But most of her other contemporary romances, like, it's just like, this is what happens when two people fall in love and then they, like, have sex and, like, have a sexual, and it's, like, very just like vanilla. And so this is a little bit more than that. So I can see why some people were like all up in arms about it, because it is so different from like the way that she usually writes. But at the same time, like, if this is the genre that you read,
right,
it is not.
No. I also gave it 3 jalapenos, mostly for the light BDSM, but I do think, and I have to say, and I agree with everything you said about it, things being, like, mentioned, but it not being erotica. Now, I've never read 50 Shades of Grey, so I can't compare it to that, certainly. But I just think that she did a fantastic explanation of, like, tactfully describing the desire for a sub to be a sub and, like, describing that, like, the reasoning and the feeling behind that, wanting that power exchange and that Dom-sub dynamic. I thought it was totally kink positive. I was really impressed with like, her, the way that the female main character explained why she was so turned on by these things. So I just, like, round of applause for Lily Hazelwood.
Yeah, I mean, she really does a good job of, yeah, making sure, like, that people know, like, hey, it's perfectly normal and okay, like, if this is the type of thing that you're into, and also if you're not into it. So, like, just a brief kind of overview of, like, what the blurb left out of the plot. This all starts because he's in a relationship with, like, his girlfriend of many, many years, and they are not sexually compatible. She is not into the lifestyle that he's into. She just wants, like, you know, very vanilla sex, like, cuddling. Like, she's more into it for, like, the romance and the compassion. Then, like, she's not interested in the BDSM. They tried it. She didn't like it. So they decide to, like, go separate ways because they're not compatible sexually.
Right.
She does a really great job of, like, explaining that without making any party look like they're the ones in the wrong, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was just thinking about, like, the other kind of book that we've come across with, like, BDSM themes was the Ritual,
mm-hmm.
right? And I felt like that was approached not nearly as well as this was. And yeah. That was way more explicit.
Yes.
And I have something for you, Kelsey,
okay.
in relation to this. So at one point, you know, they're doing their negotiations about, you know, what things they're into and not, and they fill out a BDSM checklist, which I didn't know was a thing, but I printed one out in here.
Oh, my God.
It's 7 pages long. It's 7 pages long. Like, this is what they, like, I don't know, obviously not the specific one, but this came from, I don't know, some reputable BDSM.
This is, like,
kinky website.
Very in-depth, like, tried, yes, no, rate. Would you like to try it again or do again? Like, never hard limit, maybe fetish need, force, give, receive, but, you know, there's a whole page for just straight bondage. And, like, every
soothing, impact play, and, like, I mean, it goes on and on. Everything you could possibly think of.
Look, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 slots for just gags in general. Oh, wow. Like,
this is similar to what they filled out, because she says at one point, she's like, everything that I checked that I wanted to be done to me, he checked that he wanted to do to someone else.
So I
think this was really probably, you know, something similar to what they discuss in the book.
And she said, like, a couple of them she had to, like, Google. And I'm like, what do you mean? But now that I'm, like, looking at this list,
yeah,
there's,
like, a couple
things still that I'm like,
to Google later or ask,
like,
someone that I know.
Yeah, like, some of these, like, I'm looking at and I'm like, I don't know if I know exactly what that means. I mean, this is, like, this gets in, like, in depth, guys. Like, this is very in depth.
I think it's really important. And I think that if you are entering,
what is a Werdenberg pinwheel?
I don't know. What are vampire clubs? Right above it.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Zippers. I don't think they don't mean. Oh, zippers, like clamps? I don't
know.
Oh, things that pinch. You close pins clamps.
Zipperization. Oh my God.
Hey, we don't shame here.
No, but I'm just like, this is how, like, in depth this list is. Like, things that you would never, like, the things that I think, like, you would never think could lead into, like, this lifestyle. Obviously, very much.
But the point is it is a lifestyle, and it is really important. If you're reading this book and you're like, hey, that sounds really cool, it is really, really important to have extremely open communication with your partner about what you're into or what you want to be into. Because with some of the things on here, like, there is a real chance of being injured.
Yeah.
For an insurance. And so you really have to, I would think that if you read this book and you're like, wow, I'm going to do that. That sounds great. Print out this checklist. Google some things.
Like on the last page, like it is, it's like you're filling out a medical questionnaire because it's like allergies, mm-hmm. medical problems, issues, like obviously STIs and like tested and stuff like that. But like, yeah, like this list is very reminiscent, obviously not the like object, but it is like something that you would fill out at a doctor's office. Like, that's how detailed it is.
Certainly. But again, that's really because the thing that works between their dynamic is that they are able to be so open, honest, communicative with each other about what they want and what their limits are.
Because now I'm like looking at this and it's like this part of the list is for service and restricted controlled behavior. And like some of the things on here are like chauffeuring, like being driven around. Like this isn't even technically like sexual, but like having your clothing chosen for, having your food chosen for, like exercising, like manual cares, like,
you know, being like business.
Yeah, it's, so that's why I'm like, like I said, like this is, I'm glad that something like this exists. And seeing it, like, you really, again, if you're not active or, like, in this type of lifestyle, like, you would never know that, like, half stuff technically, like, could technically be a kink or be part of the lifestyle. Like I said, like, when I look at catheterization, like, I'm not ever thinking, for me personally, that that is something that would turn me on. Ever. Like, that is something that happens medically, like, for a specific reason.
There are people that are turned on by medical kink. I mean, yeah. That's a thing, you know?
Yeah, like, I think it even says it on there, like, somewhere on there.
Well, yeah. Like, medical play. Like, yeah, medical, play, like, yeah. Medical situation.
Yeah. Do you know, but, like, the company's probably spent. Although, I think we are looking this over.
Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait to look it over.
God, Scarlett can't read.
Well, you know, and it was funny because one of the things that I, like you mentioned, the allergies. I thought that when my partner and I first started dating, that was like one of the first questions that he asked me is like, what are your allergies? And I thought that was really weird. But I think that makes sense.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like, he needs to know, like, you just bring lemons into the bed. Anyhow, we're
so, I lost where we are on the outline. But I hope you guys enjoyed this.
Yeah.
And feel free to fill it out. You know,
drop a comment in this episode if you would like our non-existent social media manager to put it on our barely used social media
time. A kid too, and I work full time.
Anyways,
we have something situations weird.
I can't wait until he actually gets to these episodes.
I know. He's on all these episodes before we started dating.
Yeah. He's like in season one.
What the fuck are you talking about?
But yeah, but no, drop a comment if this is something that you would be interested in getting a link to see what we're talking about. Because it is. It's very eye-opening. And it's kind of like good knowledge, I would assume. I mean, I'm married, so chances are I'm probably never gonna pull out this checklist, but you know, you never know.
And if you're looking, like, also if you're into it, there are so many DOMs that you can follow on TikTok that give really fantastic advice about the lifestyle and about this power dynamic and subs as well. So if you want any recs, feel free to send me a message and I will tell you who to follow.
All right. So moving into our sweet pino ratings, I gave this a 4. I think Lucas was very much everything that she needed. You know, part of the plot is like her dad was just a really like piece of shit. And so she just has like this, not, I don't want to say like unhealthy, but she just has like this stigma around men, and basically that they are all like the same and they're all kind of like pieces of shit. And like, she gets kind of nervous when she's around like a big group of men all at once, not because she thinks like that really anything is gonna happen to her because of the men that she's surrounded by, but just because like that's her overall experience. And so Lucas does a really good job of like taking her out of that and like helping her work through those issues. And then like she's coming off an injury, so she's diving for the first time in like a year, and she has like a mental block on one of her dives, like the dive that like caused for her to get injured. And so like he kind of helps her work through that, and he's just really like mature, and he's just like there for her in whatever capacity that she needs. Like, he's really there to take care of her.
Yeah, he is so observant and so in tune with her body language and her mental state. Like, he can tell when she, you know, when she needs to be taken out of a situation, when she needs to be talked to and not. And he remembers all these little details. She'll mention there was a dessert she wanted to try, and then all of a sudden, that's dessert. Yeah. Like, these things will show up, and he's just so sweet. So I gave it 4 to 5 sweet Pinos, just because he was so supportive. And again, going back to that power dynamic, he was so good at taking care of her, you know, and really respecting her boundaries. And again, just being anything that she needed at any point in time, he was there for it 100%.
He never like abused his like dumb role, whether in a scene or out of a scene. Like, he was just very respectful about like her needs and her limits, and you know, just kind of
like you said, in and out of the bedroom.
Yeah,
and like he definitely has some mental health issues going on there, and he is just, you know, so in tune with that.
Yeah, and like he's really about like protecting and building the trust with her, and like that's a big thing. And not to say that she doesn't have any sweet Pino moments, but this book is really about like her regrowth, and you know, he's a big part of that. So like she does like have a couple of sweet Pino moments, more so like where she's just like understanding of him, and like where his ex would hear what he was saying, but then would be like, oh yeah, but like you don't want that. And instead, like Scarlett's like, no, I'm hearing you and I'm understanding you. And like that was a big thing for him, because a lot of people didn't. You know, he's like this like 2-time Olympic champion. He's like at the top of his game, and he's like, I don't want to swim anymore. And everybody's like, well, what do you mean? And she's like, no, I get it. You know, so like she was there for him in a like an understanding way.
Right. And she understands him in a way more so than his ex of 7 years ever did or ever possibly could.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so now let's get into the smell report.
Smell report. So we only have a smell report really for Lucas. He smells like sandalwood soap and chlorine and something warm.
Yeah, which I mean makes sense. They're swimmers, so they spend all their time like in the pool, so the chlorine. And yeah, we don't really have a smell for Scarlett. It's just Lucas says that she smells good.
Yeah.
So
a lot.
Yeah.
When I think something warm though, I'm like mashed potatoes. Like
mashed potatoes.
I'm like mashed potatoes are warm. Yeah, like I don't know. Like
warm fuzzy feeling. No, like maybe like I don't know.
The sun on your skin.
No, I don't think it's in it. Like the musk, I guess, is kind of like a warm.
Oh, you mean the warm scent?
Yeah.
Okay, not like just like a warm object. Like when your blanket comes out of the dryer. Mashed potatoes are warm.
No.
Yeah.
Definitely not, because he's Swedish. So, like, they're not warm there ever. I mean, they probably are.
All right.
Okay, so tropes. So, he falls first. The next two, they're kind of. So it's kind of like a forbidden romance. It's kind of a love triangle.
Yeah, kind of, sort of. It's adjacent.
Yeah. They're exploring kinks, and it is a slow burn. So let's get into the plot, characterization, world building. This is set in real life, guys. So it's set at Stanford in California. However, they do travel kind of all over the place. They're in Texas at one point. They're in Amsterdam at another point. They go, I don't remember where, the Olympic trials are supposedly held. Australia, maybe. Melbourne, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
So it's hinted that they go there.
And most of the, you know, most of the scenes are, you know, in the pool or, you know, workout adjacent. I'm assuming that she's very accurate in her descriptions of what of being like an NCAA athlete would be like. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, there's
our District One. Is that what it's called?
They're D1 athletes.
I don't
yeah. Remember. Division.
Division, not district. Okay. Not the Hunger Games.
So D1 athletes are like, they're like the top athletes, like the ones that you would see on TV. So like D1 football, it would be like FSU, Ohio State, like they're like the big prominent.
Okay. I know nothing about sports and I knew nothing about diving or swimming or anything. So I just kind of took everything as 100% accurate because I'm like, okay. I mean, this makes sense. I mean, I'm sure she did a fuck ton of research unless she was a college athlete. I don't know.
Yeah, so Ally Hazelwood does do a really good job of being as fairly accurate as her story will allow. So, yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure. And she knows, like, because she writes all STEM-based novels, she, I was like, the, not that there's very many in this book, but she's very accurate in describing, like, lab settings and stuff like that. But
well, I thought for a person that has pretty much almost zero interest in any kind of sports, I thought that this still kept my interest, you know, in relation to that, even through all this terminology and all the practices and the swim meets and whatnot. I wasn't bored by it.
Yeah. And I like sports. I don't necessarily know a lot about swimming and diving, but yeah, I mean, I felt like I could understand it. I could follow along with it. I wasn't like really turned off by it. Does it make me want to go to a swim meet down the street? No, but I mean, I've talked about getting our Scarlet into. This is just too weird now. This is
yeah. You gotta mention the app.
I will. So yeah. So speaking of that, so Scarlet Van Meer is our female main character. She's very quiet. She's very reserved. She kind of just stays in her own head. Like, she didn't grow up with, like, a lot of friends. Like, that, you know, diving was, like, her only thing. So they make points and references to, like, she's met a lot of people, but she doesn't remember meeting a lot of people. Like, she's met Lucas before. He remembers the interaction. She doesn't remember the interaction. She also, like, has a lot of people that, like, were interested, like a lot of men that were interested in her, but she just like didn't, like, not that she didn't pick up on it, but she was just like not interested in it, so like she wasn't participating in it. She attends a party and somebody, I guess, like there's a part where she attends a party and somebody's like, oh my god, Scarlett Vandermeer attends parties. Well, they call her Vandy, so I think they say like, oh my god, Vandy attends parties. So yeah, but the craziest thing is my daughter's name is Scarlet, right? It's spelled exactly the same. So when I picked this book up, I didn't read the blurb because it was Ally Hazelwood. I was going to read it. Like, there's no, like, I don't care what the book's about. I'm going to read it. And so when I opened up the book and I read the first page and the first name is Scarlet, spelled the same exact way as my daughter, I'm like, this is going to be interesting because I know it's like, you know, like there's a BDSM, like, kink thing to it. I'm like, oh, God. So I'm like reading, and it took me a day and a half of me actually owning the book to like be like, okay, set it aside, like don't think about it, like just set it aside. And I'm reading it, and I'm like, you know, differentiating between my toddler and like this fictional character. And then I get to a point in the book where she says like, oh, Lucas buys her like a Duolingo, or which is also fucking hilarious because of all the other stuff that's going. But he buys her like a year subscription to Duolingo. Like, he puts something in there and he's like, he doesn't even know my middle name. And he's like, actually, probably does. It's Anne. Which is also my daughter's middle name. And I'm like, oh my God. So, Ali, if you are listening to this ever by some miracle, I feel like I am now legally obligated to, like, all future arcs. Because you used my daughter's first and last name in a BDSM kink book that I read. So I feel like it's only fair. Now, granted, she was probably writing this book or had it written before my daughter was even born. But still, my daughter came out first, so...
So yeah, so Kelsey's entitled to free arcs for a lifetime.
Yeah. Free Ali Hazelwood arcs for life.
Because there have been like fan fiction or like, you know, short like romance stories or whatever that I've tried to read, and it's like the main character is like someone that I'm close with. I can't do it. Like, I've had to put one down with the main character's name is Cassie, and I'm like, nope. Like, I just can't read about Cassie getting brailed because that's like my bestie. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine that would be a little weird.
It was a little weird. Luckily, again, Scarlett's a toddler. She can't read, so she can't read a book about her name or get any ideas. Not that, like, you know, we would really care when she's 30 years old.
You know, predilection towards kink is actually genetic. Yeah. Just so you know. That's a thing. That is a thing. Just so you know. Don't tell me that. You can Google it, people.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, there's a 50-50 shot she's going to be gay, so...
And we will love and support you no matter what.
Of course. Actually, he would be thrilled if she is a lesbian.
I'm sure.
Doesn't he just have to deal with boys?
Yeah, weirdos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, she, like, struggles with mental health issues. And this book is really all about her growth and, like, really overcoming, like, before her injury. Like, she even says, like, there was before the injury and then after the injury. And before the injury, she was just, like, very anal, very hard on herself, like, had to be perfectionist, and, like, would, like, her...
define her sense of self based on her achievements.
Yeah, yeah. Where then after the injury, and then, like, during, like, Lucas, she really learns that, like, if she doesn't score a perfect score on her dives, it's not the end of the world. She went up there and she did the dive. So, like, she really, like, evolves into just being a person who's, like, I excel at what I excel at, and I don't what I don't. And I think it's
important to kind of note that, like, yes, Lucas, like, helps her on this journey, but he's not the reason that her mentality shifts or changes. Like he's just, like, a helpful hand there.
Yeah, I mean, she's in therapy. And so she credits a lot of the growth to, like, the work that she does in therapy with her therapist. But he helps her.
He certainly does help her, and, you know, through his, like, supportiveness and, you know, like, wisdom of being a bit older and being, and, you know, an athlete longer. But, yeah, it's not like she met a boy and then her life changes.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Okay, so speaking of Lucas, so there's not, like, a whole lot to him other than, like, he's a stand-up dude. He's kind of like a baby dumb. Like, again, like, it's... In this book, like, they don't explore a ton on page, so I'm sure, like... And they don't go over exactly every single thing that they put on their checklist. So I'm sure there's, like, more kink, you know, to his character, but it just doesn't come out on the page.
But on that point, it's not that he's just sexually dominant. You know what I mean? He is also a dominant in the sense of taking care of her and taking that responsibility to let her be the submissive and feel her feelings. And he kind of takes it upon himself to help guide her. And as he quote says, like, put her back together when she breaks.
Yeah.
So he is still in that role. Yeah. It's not just sex.
Yeah, there were two things about him, though, that, like, they didn't annoy me, but I was just, like, questioning. So one, he calls her a troll, and I don't know if it's like because he's Swedish and there's like it doesn't seem like there's really a language barrier. But he calls her a troll, so I don't know, like they never really.
They do though, because it's a good luck troll. He
Oh.
says that in Sweden they have little good luck trolls, and
Oh,
that's
okay.
where it comes from.
Yeah, so like that was like a thing. And then the only other thing that kind of and like that actually did annoy me was so him and his girlfriend of 7 years, they break up, and she's also a diver, and that ends up being partners with Scarlett. And Scarlett just happens to like be there and like gets thrown into the middle of like their breakup and like why they're breaking up. And then Scarlett tells her name, the ex-girlfriend's name is Penn. Tells her like, hey, like I'm into this lifestyle, like you know, if you have questions, like you can ask me or whatever. And so Penn and Lucas break up because Penn wants to go and like sleep with other people, and like she already had a dude like that she was kind of into in the back of her mind, so like she breaks up with Lucas to then go and date this other guy. But she makes him wait. So for 8 months, they've broken up, they've been broken up. And they don't tell people that they're broken up. And so, like, he has this whole relationship with Scarlett. And Scarlett's trying to keep him at arm's length because of Penn. But, and he's, like, you know, like, falling in love with her or whatever and wants them to, like, actually be dating. But you won't even tell people that you've broken up with your ex-girlfriend for
Right.
months.
But I do think that it was Penn's request. Because, you know, Lucas is talked about as being this big name. You know, he's an Olympic medalist. He's a big deal. He's super hot. He gets recognized just by regular people when he walks down the street. You know, there's a whole fan internet websites based on like him. So I think Penn is trying to avoid putting them and their breakup in the public eye during competition season.
Yeah,
Wasn't that kind of
which
like,
is fine, but like
but yeah,
so
they should have
stupid.
protested. Yeah, they should have told their teammates.
Especially if like he and like they're not like he's not just like only in secret with Scarlett. He very much wants to be dating her, and like they go and they do things out in public, like when they're in Amsterdam, like they're holding hands down the street, and like he's like being very affectionate towards her. And like do you think that like if you are like if you're really wanting to like have this an actual relationship with this person that you're like falling in love with, the very first step is like letting everybody know like, hey, like I'm not dating this person. And he was very private with his personal life anyway, so not a lot of people I think knew like that he even had a girlfriend because he always avoided questions about it during like media and stuff. But like you would think like you would at least want like that to not be like a barrier because like by still pretending to be dating this other person, like how do you think that would make like Scarlett feel? Like no duh.
Maybe, you know, perhaps that contributes to the fact why she was so confused in the beginning
Yeah.
when they were making that transition just from, you know, like fuck buddies basically to, you know, having deeper feelings for each other. She had so much difficulty being able to accept that and navigate.
Yeah. And so, like, basically, it only comes about and, like, it comes to a head when they're, like, you know, not, like, in by the rest of her team, like, her teammates.
Right, and then it makes her look like she's a horrible cheater,
Yeah.
you
And
know?
she's been
Right.
doing Vermont for like 9 months at this point. Like, yeah, that was the only issue that I had with Lucas and then Penn. Like, Penn,
She annoyed me a little bit. She annoyed me.
she's not that great. She's not that great of a character. She's supposed to be like their best friend, and she just kind of like makes everything about her. And I don't know.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. And it is really frustrating because there is that blowout at the end because, you know, Penn is the bestest diver, whatever. And Scarlett is like, you know, lower down. But Scarlett wins the gold medal, which everyone said that Penn was the favorite for that, blah, blah, blah. And then she's embracing Lucas, and Pen just has like a friggin' meltdown.
Yeah. And accuses Scarlett of
stealing her life, stealing everything that she had and everything she wanted.
Yeah, stealing her medal and stealing her man. But like, you're the one who broke up with him.
You broke up with him, exactly. Because, and you know what? Something else that kind of bothered me, just she broke up with him because, quote, the reason that she gave is because they weren't sexually compatible. But I think they just weren't like regular compatible.
Yeah.
You know, as well, because she really, I feel like, didn't even know who he was as a person, which Scarlett picked up on right away, who he was and his emotional needs.
Yeah.
You know, Penn was like, oh, this BDSM stuff, blah, blah, blah. But then it comes up that they're having like bisexual threesomes and stuff. They've been doing that forever. Hey, that falls under that umbrella.
Yeah.
You know, like you're shaming and you're like, hey, I'm not into this, but then you want him to have threesomes with the girls and dudes. Like, and I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, she got to pick every single person. And then he even says, like, he asked for Scarlett. He only ever asked for her. Like, that was the only time he ever asked for anybody in their relationship. And Pan was like, no.
Well, she was dating someone at that point.
Yeah, I mean, but still. Like,
but yeah.
Yeah, and then it was Pan's idea.
We should, you know, do stones, glass houses and stones and that whole thing.
And especially because Pan is the one who put them together. Like, Pan outed, like, Scarlett's, you know,
activities.
Yeah, like that Scarlett was also into the lifestyle and told them to start fucking. And like, they were responsible and they were like, before we do this, like, we're going to talk to Penn to make sure she's okay with it. And Penn's like, yeah, that's fine because I have a hot teacher over here. And then hot teacher decides like he doesn't want to be with you. And now all of a sudden you're like, okay, well, I'm going to take Lucas back.
That's not the way it works.
Yeah.
You can't just toy with people like that.
Yeah.
So I didn't love her. She wasn't my favorite.
No, not at all. Okay, so let's get into our overall ratings. Of course, I gave it 5 stars. I absolutely love this book. I love Allie Hazelwood. She can not write a single bad thing, I swear. But mostly it's just because, like, her writing style is so fantastic. Like, the just not even, like, the elevation and, like, the word choices. But, like, she takes time to, like, develop each character and then write the dialogue for that character exactly how they would in real life talk and act. So like, I think
so well developed.
Yeah, and like, there's so many times where there's books where it's supposed to be about like, Nocturcadia, for example. Like, this girl's supposed to be extremely bright and brilliant and like, she's a researcher and this and that and like, and then, like, the things that she says and does, like, her character says and does in the books, I'm like, what? She wouldn't, like, someone like that would legitimately never do that. Like, those types of things. And the same thing, like, the book that we just did, like, Forged in Blood. They're like, 200-year-old vampires who grew up in, a Victorian type of society. They would still hold on to that a little bit and act like that. But then you made them act like fucking frat boys.
Yeah.
So that is, I think, a big thing that really annoys me when I'm reading a story. But with Allie Hazelwood, she doesn't write like that. Like, each character's personality is exactly how, like, they're portrayed. And their dialogue and their actions all match that. Like, even Penn. Like, Penn's not that great. Penn has a backstory where she's not that great. And so that comes out. But then, like, you know, she learned from, like, her, like, kind of, like, bullyish, like, teen years and, like, grew. And, like, she does come back and she apologizes and, like, you know, does all of the things. But and then that falls in line with, like, her personality and, like, the way that she is described. So,
yeah, I think you put it excellently. So I rated this book as 4 stars, and that's just about as high as I can possibly rate a contemporary swim team college romance, because that is not my thing. This is not my thing. I never in a million years would have thought that I would ever read a contemporary swim team college romance, but I will rate it as high as possibly can for this genre.
I see what you added on here, unless that was left over from, also side note, at like 7 a.m. this morning, Nikki, who's in charge of writing this outline, texted me and said, I should write the outline. I still got to finish the book. So I like last minute wrote the outline and I took the previous one and I just like edited things. So is this true? It says for the shelf and then it says not really.
Yeah, this is not for my shelf.
Uh-huh.
It was fine. First off, you just threw some shade at me. I couldn't help it. I've had a busy ass week. I did have to wait. I did on
I
my
was
only
trying to.
fucking day off this week. Okay, my only fucking day off. I got up at 9 a.m. It wasn't 7 a.m. And I started reading. And I told Kelsey I had 150 pages left. I had 200 pages left.
I
And I
was
read it
trying to
all
give you
morning.
the benefit of the doubt and to like be like, no, I didn't write that about this
I
book. That
did.
was the left from when you did that line.
I'm going to lend this book to Mel tomorrow, and then after that, it will be available for purchase for $8.95. $9.95, it'll be half the retail price at
That
Shoppers.
just is so upsetting
Thanks.
to me. This is 100% for my shelf. I have a special edition on the way. How dare you put it on sale? Leave me the one.
It's not my thing.
She'll keep Nicholas, but she won't keep Deep End.
Nicholas is on my shelf at home. We're actually not sure where Nicholas is. We lost him.
Okay, so that concludes our review of Deep End by Allie Hazelwood. As always, be sure to give us some stars, leave a comment, let us know anything that you'd like to cover because we really have not worked on our list whatsoever. Okay,
No.
so we've gotta do that. We gotta do that.
Sure, we have like four titles.
That we
You're just calling around titles.
which we
They're
have
fairly
titles,
rotating this
but then
year.
we just don't actively put them on the list. But whatever.
But we do have a title for next week.
We
And
do.
next week, you can join us for our review of How Does It Feel by Janine? Janine
Janine O'Reilly, I
O'Reilly?
think.
Janine
Or
O'Reilly.
Janine. I don't listen, the book was too far away from me when I was doing the
It's
outline.
Janine
And so I'm like, I'm pretty sure this is her.
by J. O'Reilly.
Yeah.
How does it feel?
Yes. Which, by the way, my husband chose the book. Because I do this thing where when we haven't like officially decided, I tell my husband two titles and I say, don't ask questions, just pick one. And I'll save the rest of the story for the actual review. But it was amended for the first time ever to this book for a very particular reason. But yeah, my husband actually chose the book for me too. Yeah, so do we have anything else?
Nothing else.
Yeah, I know it's weird because like this is where we usually do like the spoilers, but we don't really have any spoilers.
Spoiler.
Yeah, all right.
I mean, spoiler alert, there is Happy Ever After.
Yeah, but a
But
little
that's
bit.
standard. That's contemporary romance.
That's
I
romance in general.
have unrealistic expectations.
All right. Well, we'll see you next week.
Bye, book besties.